want to say that I love the Lord tonight. And I too have a longing in my heart for Him. I long to see Him face to face, don't you? There's a song that says, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace." God is so good. I'm thinking tonight about you and me. It's the purpose of a revival, isn't it? A revival is to revive us. I'm so glad that the Lord has ordered these things and blesses these kind of meetings to inspire us to go a little farther. We have the song that, not the song I mean, but the, well, it is a song, but it's also scripture. And how that it says that He went a little farther.
Yes.
All the way to Calvary. And there in the garden, it said that He went a little farther. And tonight you and I are going to need to go a little farther. It's not over yet. We still have some space to go and time to fill up and life to live and praise to be given and to light to be shown to the world. We still have that. We need to do that until the end. But I'm thinking of tonight about you and me as human beings of the earth, and how that we were created by Him. We don't always stop and think about me personally, God creating me. It's almost like, well, I was born in this world by my parents. But there is a scripture in Jeremiah that said of Him, Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee, I knew thee."
Yes.
And so the same with each one of us. It's hard for us to comprehend how that God is an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing God. That He knows the future. He knows everything about you and me. This part of Him knowing us before we were formed reminds me of a song that actually Brother Willie and Sister Nita sang in our congregation. We had a little singing a number of years ago, and I had never heard the song before, and it has never departed from my thoughts concerning a subject such as this. And they sang the song of when He was on the cross, I was on His mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Now that's hard to understand too. But I believe that God knows each one of us here tonight as well as the whole world. Every soul that comes into this world, He is fully aware of who they are. And I've heard individuals say, "Lord, You know their address." God knows where we live, doesn't He? And He knows everything. Thank the Lord. So tonight, I think of another scripture that David said. He said, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him?" I believe God is very mindful of not only the whole world, but much more so of His children. I believe He thinks of us. Thank the Lord. I have a favorite scripture that I have used at times in my prayer. Did you know it's good to use the word of the Lord in your prayers?
Yes. Yes.
I believe the Lord loves to hear His word quoted to Him in our prayers. And this one was from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 13, which I will read to you. But I want you to think of the words that this particular passage says to us, and adopt it, these words in your prayer. It was David's prayer that he was offering, and he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." What adjectives. What words that can awaken our thoughts to the power of God and who He is and what He is, His very nature and His character. These words can help us to understand Him better because He knows us. You and I are just getting acquainted with Him. We're learning about Him. And then it says, "All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, and thou art exalted as head above all." Do you get a vision of how great God is just with these few words?
Yes.
And then it says, verse 12, part of it says, "Thou reignest over all, and thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and in thine hand it is to give strength unto all." Verse 13. "Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." I like that passage, don't you?
Thank the Lord.
Greatness. Power, glory, victory, majesty. Some powerful words there. But that is describing our God. I'd like to enlarge just a little bit on the word majesty. The meaning of the word majesty is supreme greatness, supreme power, supreme authority. And oftentimes the word majesty is used with royalty. So then our mind can go to God as being in the form of a king. Well, we know that Jesus is our king. Thank the Lord. But that's royalty, what we would call royalty. And then another synonym was highness. And I haven't really heard that word in some time, a long time, as a matter of fact, but it was a term that was also used with royalty, and it would say, "Your Royal Highness." We don't hear that very often anymore, but it seemed like we used to, in reference to even maybe the Queen of England. But did you know what His name is? It's Most High. That's His name, Most High.
Thank the Lord.
I had an experience, and I've told it in the congregation just even recently, but it comes back to my mind here that it was when the Passion of Christ was going through our land and having an impact on a lot of people. Many people were going and seeing that movie, and there was a claim that many people changed their lives, but yet the fruit of it didn't seem to really continue to bear out. It's been many years since that happened. But I want to tell you the experience that I had with that. I had taken Sister Cordaway to Walmart to do her shopping, and I didn't have anything to do, and I was looking actually at the cookbooks in Walmart. And here at the end of an aisle was a book that was on the production of the Passion of Christ, and I picked it up. and looked at it, and I have to tell you, it had a profound effect on me. Just seeing how that man was able to present this and bring to our mind the suffering of Christ. I laid the book back in its place and was literally weeping. And I turned and walked out into Walmart, and I was weeping unto the Lord, and I was saying, "Oh God, how are we supposed to view you? Don't you know there is something we need to see him as, who he is?" And the voice of the Lord answered me immediately, and he said, "High and lifted up." And I quit crying. Because he is high and lifted up. Thank the Lord. I want to read a passage in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 16 through 19. And again, this is trying to open our minds to the greatness of our God. It said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that he has all power in heaven and in earth? I do. Do you believe that he sets kings up and he takes down kings? The word says he does.
Yes.
And so therefore we can say that he has the power over thrones and dominions and principalities,
yes,
and powers, and nothing will happen except he allow it. I believe that. So verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence," or be first in rank, first in power. That's what he is. So again, we hope that that helps us to turn our vision from all of the earthly things and see him as high and lifted up. And see him as one that has power and that has glory and greatness and victory and majesty. Thank the Lord. Last night we made a statement that our God is a God that changes not. We also spoke and said this statement, that heaven and earth will pass, but my words will not pass away. So to encourage our faith this evening, I would like to add that he has given you and me exceeding and precious and great promises.
Yeah.
We need our faith to receive those promises.
Yes.
I would like to add also that the scripture says that there hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised. Not one has failed. So as we consider tonight who God is, and this God that he wants to be our God, that he is a God of all power, that he is great, that he is high, and he is lifted up, as we consider him as being a God that human eyes have not beheld. You ever wanted to see God face to face? Sister Catherine She literally saw an angel one time standing at the foot of her bed, and she described it to me, and it just made me want to see an angel real bad. But the Lord impressed it upon my heart that I would not. That I would have to have faith and not try to look for sight. And that's where we are tonight. We can have a longing to see God face to face, but we will have to do it only by faith. So this is a great God, isn't he? And yet in his greatness and in his power and in his victory and in his majesty and in being high and lifted up, do you know what he says to us? He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that ye can find help in time of need. That's what he says. And we can almost see him as being so great that we can't approach him boldly. But we're going to have the faith in order to come before him boldly. He's offered it. Do you know what one of his commandments is? Have faith in God. Just a simple little scripture, but it is profound. Because he commands you and me to believe in him, to trust in him, to have faith that he is a God that wants to be our God. He wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you.
Yes, he does.
He had an experience like that with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And they were very comfortable with him as long as they were obedient. As long as they obeyed the commandment to not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as long as they only ate of the tree of life, they enjoyed a blessed relationship with him. And as long as you and I have confidence, our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence, see? But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater. It'll affect our relationship with him. We will not be able to walk with him and talk with him and commune with him. In reality, if my heart is condemning me, it will hinder me when I even pray. It's when I have confidence that I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can pour my heart out. I can give all of my needs, all of my wants. Did you know that you can have some of your wants, your desires? You can present them to him.
Yes.
He says in his word that if you and I will delight ourselves in him, what will he do? He'll give us the desire of our heart. Have you ever tried him? Have you ever proven him? Have you ever taken something before him and said, Lord, judge me now. Have I been delighting myself in you? The Lord wants to bless his people, but he commands that we have faith in him. And it is not impossible for man to have faith in God. He says in another place, this is one of my favorites. He says, prove me now. Don't you know that the Lord wants you to prove him just as he wants to prove you? He invites us to prove him. There is another scripture that says that he desires that we command the works of his hands. Do you have that kind of authority? You do in faith or by faith. If you really believe, God will hear your cry. You can command the works of His hands.
Lord.
I remember reading a story, and it was true, a true story. It was a wonderful book. I would recommend it. Maybe some of you have read it. I actually think Lisa was the one that gave it to me. And the name of it is I Dare to Call Him Father. And it's about a woman that was a Muslim that was converted. She was probably converted only through the Spirit of God just working with her because she didn't have access to that kind of information. But after she had been living for God for some time, she had a dream. She dreamed that she was transported into a room where there was a woman that was laying sick upon a bed and dying with cancer, and she looked up and she saw Jesus standing in the corner of the room, and she said, what does he want me to do? He's here, he can do it. And he told her, you pray. There is faith when we pray to Christ and ask Him to do the work. That's commanding the works of His hands. So when you are seeking God to help, we use that word a lot in our prayers, don't we? Have you ever thought about it when you're praying and how many times you say, help me, help them, help this? We're so helpless.
Help us, Lord.
We are all helpless.
Yes.
He said, prayer unleashes the power
yes.
of God in behalf of the person you're praying for.
Prayer unleashes. Yes. You know, Lisa, I kept that in my Bible for a long time, and it just came to me tonight. I haven't read it in a long time, but it's a profound statement. Prayer unleashes the power of God for the one that you're praying for. Thank you, Lisa. So, when we pray, let us have faith that He is hearing prayer, that He is a God hearing and a God answering prayer. He answers prayer. Thank the Lord. So He says, I want you to prove me. And I want you to see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And it will be such that you can't even contain it. That's what he said. In that same chapter, he also says, he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who is the devourer? Isn't it Satan? Do we need a power that can supersede these powers that Satan tries to come against the people of God? Yes.
Yes, indeed.
He gives us power over the kingdom of Satan. He wants his people to have power over Satan.
Yes.
But it has to come from him. I have learned something the Lord has taught me, and I won't go into the whole testimony of it. It would be too long. But the Lord gives us the authority over Satan if we belong to Him. If we have His Spirit living and dwelling in us, we have authority over Satan.
Yes.
To rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I was needing a healing, and I put in for the healing. Nothing happened. And the Lord began to teach me how to claim my healing.
Help, Lord.
And so he spoke it to me. And he said, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus and claim the healing power of God. And those words are powerful words. And they work. But I learned a little lesson about that. It's not just in affliction that the enemy comes against us. The enemy will come against you and me in many ways.
Yes.
Temptations, other trials, tests, The enemy is trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. That's what he's trying to do in these last days. But we still have authority over Satan through Jesus Christ. But when you take that step by faith, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus with whatever you are needing him to be rebuked, and he has to step back. You need to say, you need to have something else to take the place of that spirit that is being rebuked.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus if he's hindering my faith, and I claim the faith of Christ. I'm replacing it, see, with a plea for the power of God to replace where the enemy has tried to come in like a flood. What did the scripture say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, what will he do? He will lift up a standard against him. Thank the Lord. But learn this. Seek the Lord for him to teach you how to overcome the powers of darkness in this world through rebuking it in the name of Jesus and then claiming the power of God to fill that place. It works. I've experienced it. It works. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not destroy the fruits of your land. Oh, we're not farmers. We're not, most of us, maybe a few. But we really don't have, we're not looking at that kind of fruit. He did it back then. But we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And he will not destroy, he will not allow Satan to destroy the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Thank the Lord. And then it also says that all nations will see you are blessed. When he says, prove me now. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So tonight you and I must have faith in God. We must believe who God is. We must believe what he is. And we must believe all of his existence. What does that mean? The scripture says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. And I am everything in between.
Yes.
That's his existence. And we must believe it. We must be strong in our belief. We mustn't allow the theories of the world or the opinions of the world. That's not the word I'm wanting. But we mustn't allow these things to diminish our faith. We must look beyond all of those things. Keep our eyes set upon God and on heaven and the goal. Recently, I was on Church of God preaching, and I was thinking about faith, and I thought, well, I'll look up the different messages that's been preached on faith. So I'm going to give you some of the titles, and it's many more than this. Faith is a wonderful subject for us to hear. Well, of course, one of them was have faith in God. Somebody preached on having faith in God. Another one said, how big is your God? That was the title of the message. How big is your God tonight? Is he big? Or has he been diminished by something that has destroyed your faith? What does the scripture say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Did you know that there are some people that go through hard things in life and they will make a statement? I've heard it. Well, I buried my faith when I buried my husband. God does not want us to lose faith with the things that he allows in our life. He wants it to promote us. He wants us to grow as a result of those things. And it's not easy, but if we will let Him, He will cause us to grow in the things of God. There is a scripture. It's not what I'm talking about tonight, but it fits with this statement right now that promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south. Now you have to think about what all those directions represent. The early morning sun, the ending of a life in the west, the setting of the sun, the south winds, balmy, easy. Promotion in His kingdom does not come from easy things. It comes from the north. What does the north represent? Cold, hard, wind, hard things. That's what it represents. But He wants to promote us through the hard things. And if you and I will let Him, He will. We can endure these hard things and come out better for them, thank the Lord. But anyway, going on, hold fast to your faith. That's another title. And then another one says fixed faith. And another one says trials of your faith. And another one said, faith works by love. Would you like to hear that message? And then the last one I have written down, it says, greater faith. And we all need greater faith.
Yes.
We need our faith to grow. What did the disciples say to Jesus?
Increase
our faith. When something was spoken to them that they thought they couldn't handle or bear, they said, Lord, increase our faith. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
When it comes to these places, we need to be able to cry out to the Lord, the one that is so great, the one that is the victory, all of these things. Say, Lord, increase my faith. Many times people are afraid to ask for an increase of faith. Like they're afraid to ask for patience. Oh, if I ask for more faith, then I'll have to go through something hard. Listen, the blessing is greater. Brother Philip and I were talking the other day, and we were discussing actually divine healing. And in our conversation, the statement came up, and it said, I said, Brother Philip, how many blessings would we have missed if we had not trusted in the Lord? Oh, he began to name out his blessings he would have missed. I want to tell you, we're missing blessings if we draw back. He's worthy to be trusted. He's great. He's mighty. He's the majesty. So we need to increase our faith. There is a scripture in Romans 10 and 17. And it tells us how faith can come to us. Faith doesn't come to us by chance. Remember that. Faith is not going to come to you by chance. God orders a way for you and me to receive faith and to receive greater faith. And it tells us in this verse, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is not going to just come by hearing just a good story. That's not going to increase your faith. But by the word of God, by the preached word, by the lessons that are taught, by the songs that we sing, it's all full of faith.
Yes.
And it will come and it will minister to us and it will help to increase our faith. So when the preached word is going forth, Lent it. This word Lent, you have to give permission for it to have an effect in your life. You have to say, I want that, Lord.
Yes.
You say, Lord, they need it. No, you say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of faith. Well, it says prayer. But I can say, it's me that stands in need of faith. I'm not looking at my neighbor. I'm not looking at my husband. It's me. And we take it in. And the Lord wants to fill us up with faith. Actually, what did he say? He said, when I come back, will I find faith? Well, I have an answer for that. And I say the answer is yes. He can find faith. It's up to you. It's up to me. We don't have to be low in faith. We can be great in faith because of His greatness.
Amen.
We can have faith. Don't let that scripture make you doubt that you'll have weak faith. You don't have to have weak faith. You can have great faith. I believe that. So, our faith is inspired by what? By His greatness, by His power, by all of the things that we've tried to say to us tonight. He's head of the church. He's head of this. He has all power in heaven and in earth. That ought to just cause us to rest in faith. The scripture says that there is a rest to the people of God. And oftentimes we are disturbed when we're in great need. Do you know some of the places? Well, I know the places where faith wants to be increased is when I'm going through that hard place. And we might get upset and nervous about it. But we don't need to. We need to rest in the Lord and trust in Him. So, I'm thinking about all of the wonderful accounts and testimonies and events that are recorded for you and me. And I'm going to say reported in the Old Testament and in the New. And if you're low on faith, take some of the word of the Lord and let it sink down in your heart with some of these accounts. And let it increase your faith and increase the rest that you have in God. So we're going to call them historical events because they were recorded. I'm thankful. Faith can also be inspired by the faith of others. So as we mention some of these to encourage our faith tonight, I want you to think about your own faith and how that you can have an impact on somebody else today. God wants us to inspire somebody else to move on out in faith. Just as these Bible characters. And of course, you know, we're going to the 11th chapter of, and we're not going to do them all. 11th chapter of Hebrews, a wonderful chapter. If you're having difficulty in faith, read that over and over. And then go back in the Old Testament and read about what they're talking about. Let it sink down in your heart. Abraham did what? He believed the promises of God when he was commanded to go out into a place that he didn't even know where he was going. He did not draw back. He had faith that God would lead him. Waiting. Did you know waiting is a big part of our faith?
Yes, it is.
It's a bigger part than what we like to admit. But in all of these places that we're bringing out here tonight, they all had to wait. They had to learn how to wait until the answer came. Have you ever prayed for something that the answer has not come? Have you had to wait for something? Did you eventually say, well, it must not be the Lord's will, so I think I'm going to give up? There's a song in our book, or some book, which one is it? Unanswered yet. But what does that mean? It means when the word yet is at, it's not just unanswered, it's unanswered yet. Still with expectations that the answer will come. Thank the Lord. Yes. Let us have faith with expectations and wait for the answer. Abraham waited many years for the child of promise. And then he was put to the test. God proved him. But did he prove God? He did. He believed God. Here in Hebrews, it even says that he believed that God could raise him back to life. He was a winner either way. If I took my son's life, God promised him to me. His promise cannot fail. He would bring, he'd raise him back up. Noah believed God on something that had never happened in the history of the world. It had never rained and it certainly hadn't ever flooded. But he believed it to the saving of his house. But how many years? How many years did he preach? 120. Could you endure 120 years for the answer? Do you think at the end of that thing when God shut the door? God shut the door. He didn't have to shut the door. And then he heard the rain. And then he heard the flood waters. Do you think he was sorry he had waited? He was glad. He had faith that God was telling him the truth. And he waited for the answer. I'm going to say this again. Did God prove him? Did he prove God? I want to tell you something. God wants to prove you and me. But he wants us to prove him too. He is a great and a mighty God. Thank the Lord. Joseph. What about Joseph? Did he have a lot of waiting? He was just a youth when he first had the dreams. But he knew they came from God some way. He didn't understand it. But he knew they were important dreams. And then as his story, as his life unfolded, and he ended up a slave, not to see his father's face for all of those years. Did his faith fail? Did God prove him? Did he prove God? He proved God in this way. When it came down to the end and he saw his brothers again, you know what he said? It wasn't you that sent me down here.
Yes.
It was God to preserve life. He proved God, but God proved him. And he had the faith. He endured those long years of waiting. Thank the Lord. There's so many. But Daniel and the three Hebrew children, we'll lump them in together because they had such experiences that you and I will probably never experience. How many of us would relish being put in the lion's den? Would we draw back? He didn't draw back. He carried out his faithfulness to God. I had that in the little Sunday school class one Sunday, and I only had one little child. It was Marlene Zinser's little grandson. It's maybe his first time to be there. And he wanted the story of Daniel. So we got to the point of them casting him into the lion's den. And I said, "Do you think that Daniel was afraid?" "No, he wasn't afraid." Mm-hmm. Well, we say that because we know the end. We've seen the end result, see? But I said, "No, I think he was afraid." But he trusted God. And God proved him. And he proved God. And the three Hebrew children, there was a fourth man in the fire. God proved them. And they had faith. And they endured. They said, "It doesn't matter. If you cast us into the fire, it doesn't matter. The one that we serve will deliver us anyway." Now, I don't believe they thought God was going to go in the fire. I think they thought, "We're going on to heaven right now." But they experienced walking with God. Well, the scripture almost refers to it that it was Christ walking with them. He was the fourth man in the fire. And the king looked down there and even recognized who it was, though he had never seen him before.
My Lord,
and he looks like the Son of God. I want to tell you something. If we will have faith, if we will do the waiting, if we will allow him to do the proving of our life, and if we turn and prove him, he'll be the fourth man in our fire. He'll be there with us. He'll walk with us through everything that we go through. Thank the Lord. I'm going to turn to Hebrews now and just read a few verses. Oh, it's such a wonderful passage in here, because not all of them survived. The 31st verse through 34, it says, "By faith," let's see, I may have written down. I want verse 32. "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of all of these others." I'm just going to lump them together. And that's what I'm going to say here. What more could I say? You can read it. But there's not time for us to tell you of every one of them. But look at verse 33. "For who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the..." Oh, it's just so much here. All of this was done by faith in this great and mighty God. And then you go back up to verse 13. And it said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them." And what did they confess? "I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm not going to stay here in this world forever. I'm headed for another place." And so what if you pray all your life and the answer isn't yet? Could you stand with these? Could the answer be over there? It could be. The sixth verse of that same chapter, it says, it speaks about, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." So as we close with the message tonight, I'm going to have to go back to Malachi 3 and 10 where he said, prove me now. I left out a word. If you were reading over there, you saw that I left out a word. And that word was therewith. So we're going to have to look back and see what is he going to be proven therewith. Well, if you read there, you'll find that the where therewith is with tithes and offerings, because he wants meat to be in the Lord's house. So there was a contingency on that offering to the people. When he said, prove me therewith. Prove me with. I thought it was therewith. Herewith? Did I write it down? Okay, whatever. It's the first part of the verse. He says for us to bring in an offering unto the Lord. And when we are doing our part, you can rest assured that he will do his part. Thank the Lord. You pray for me.